I want to tonight reflect on the words that were just read for us from John chapter 13. Look with me if you still have your Bibles open at verses 31 to 35. I'll read these five verses again for us now. John 13, beginning in verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us to the end. Who loved us, O God, even to a painful and shameful death on the cross, but more significantly, who loved us to the extent of bearing your wrath that we deserve for our sins. So, O God, we pray that you would draw our hearts to you, that we might love you and our Lord Jesus Christ who loved us, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Said at the beginning of our service tonight, our Maundy Thursday service comes from the Latin for the word commandment. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus says in verse 34, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Now the question is, why is this a new commandment? Is it really a new commandment? This commandment is actually given in the Old Testament, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and strength and mind. And we're also told in Leviticus chapter 19 that we're to love our neighbor as ourself, as God adds at the end here, "I am the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus himself in Mark chapter 12 says that the whole law can be summed up in just these two commandments, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as ourself. So why is this a new commandment here, to love one another? I think there are a number of ways that we can answer this question, but I want to answer it tonight under this, that God, it's a new commandment because God is beginning the process of making all things new. God is beginning the process here in Jesus Christ of making all things new. Now, if we look at the context, you remember our passage that was we read a little bit earlier, we see that Judas betrays Jesus. And we read in verse 30, John 13, right before our passage tonight, after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. Of course, it was nighttime. It was physically nighttime, but I think John has something more in mind here, that Judas is basically leaving the light of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and going out into the darkness. And it's when Judas leaves, as Judas goes basically to set in motion the events that are going to lead to Jesus' arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, and ultimately to his resurrection. As Judas had left to set these things in motion, Jesus says In verse 31, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. The Son of Man is glorified in his death and in his resurrection. And it's these things that are going to begin to bring about what we would call both the new covenant and the new creation in Jesus Christ. And this new commandment fits with these two things, the new covenant and the new creation. First of all, it's tied to the new covenant. It's tied to the new covenant. Jesus says, and we'll hear the words today as we partake of the Lord's Supper, of the cup itself. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. So at the Last Supper, Jesus gives them the cup, but it represents his blood that brings in this new covenant that God has promised to make with his people. Covenants, we know, were made by death. They were established by death in the ancient world. It required a death. It required, oftentimes we would see the cutting of animals in half and the pieces divided and the parties entering into a covenant, a binding agreement with one another would pass between those animals. Covenants were covenants in blood. So here we have the new covenant that is in Jesus' blood, that is in Jesus' death. And can I point out to you tonight, as you already know, that this is not just any ordinary death. There has never been a death like this in all of human history, and there never will be a death like this ever again, because only once the perfect Son of God became man and died on the cross. It was the God-man who died on the cross to save his people from their sins. Absolutely unique. But it enables us to be in a relationship with God. And as Jesus says here in verse 31, both the Son and the Father are glorified in this. They're both glorified. How are they both glorified? Because it demonstrates the character of God himself. And we could say this, it actually demonstrates two sides of God's character. One is his holiness that requires judgment on sin. His holiness that demands that sin be punished, that requires an outpouring of God's wrath, an outpouring of God's judgment. Why? Because God's eyes are too pure to look on sin. They're too holy to look on sin. Sin must be dealt with. Sin requires that a penalty be paid. And the wages of sin, Scripture tells us, is death. We see God's holiness, but we also see God's grace. God is gracious in providing a way. We don't pay the price. That price has been paid for us. We deserve death. Christ did not. But Christ died in our place. This is a great thought, a great profound marvel and wonder here in the gospel. I love the John Newton hymn with the verse that says this, "Let us wonder, grace and justice join and point to mercy's store. When by grace in Christ our trust is, justice smiles and asks no more." Justice smiles and asks no more of us because Christ has paid. It's a new commandment because it brings in this new covenant, which is tied to this unique death of Jesus Christ, the death of the perfect God-man. As Jesus says here in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Never have we seen a love like this. Never in human history have we seen a love like this. Never in human history will we see a love like this. And so this is a new commandment that is based in this kind of sacrificial love. What does this mean for us as we reflect on it tonight? Certainly it will never be the perfect love of Jesus Christ. And rarely are we ever called to lay down our life for someone else. But what does it look like then? It is a love that has an intention to it. It isn't just a love that seems to happen in the course of a day. Jesus wasn't here and said, "Oh, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and die for these people." This was all about why Jesus came to earth. It's an intentional love. So our love needs to be intentional. Our love needs to be a sacrificial love, to give of ourselves. It needs to be a humble love on behalf of one another and loving Christ as well. It's a love that looks for ways to give itself away. It looks for ways to give itself away. This is how Christ loved us, intentionally, sacrificially, humbly. The creator of the universe humbled himself and died for us. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. But it's also secondly tied to the new creation. The new creation. Judas' departure here in John chapter 13 sets the events in motion of, again, Jesus' arrest and his trial and his death and ultimately his resurrection. But it also sets in motion, in a sense, the inbreaking of the new creation that God is about ordaining. The Apostle Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God says in the book of Revelation, behold, I am making all things new. The new creation is all about making new things, which means for us a new way to love. And for us, it means a transformation of our lives. In other words, we are now empowered to love sacrificially like Jesus. We may be hesitant to do it. We may not want to do it. We may struggle to do it, but the work that God is doing and the work that God is doing in us and making us a new creation means that we can at some level love like Jesus with a sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Christ's death is our model, but our union with Christ is our strength. United with Christ by his Spirit gives us the power to love him. And even more than that, it is one way that God expands his kingdom. If you look in verse 35, Jesus says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another, they'll know you're my disciples. Our love will draw people to the Son of God, to Jesus Christ himself. And this becomes the work of the church. Our work is to make disciples, is to certainly, first of all, to worship God, but it's to love one another, to show the love of Christ, to radiate the love of Christ out to others. This is our work. It's why Jesus keeps saying, you can't come with me now. Verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. And then we read in verse 36 that Peter says to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going. You cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. Why can't they follow him now? Because Jesus gives us a work to do here. And this, in one sense, is the heart of it. To love one another as Christ has loved us. God is making all things new, and that includes those of us who belong to Christ. A new creation in Christ. Which leads to us being able to show the love of Christ for one another. Which ultimately points back to the Savior who gave himself for us. A new commandment I give to you. Love as I have loved you. At this point, the disciples did not necessarily know, though Jesus had told them, they still didn't quite get it. They didn't really quite know that he was actually going to die. He may have talked about it, but they didn't seem to want to hear that. Jesus goes to his death. And he gives them and he gives us a great example to follow, even as he rescues us from our sins and makes us new in himself. So as we look to Christ tonight, as we look to him in the supper coming up in just a few moments, let's pray for the grace of God to love Jesus and to love one another as Christ has loved us. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, what a great and loving Savior you are. How we praise you for your grace and mercies and your undying love that caused you to die on our behalf. So, O God, we pray that you would make us more like yourself. May we reflect you, O God, as we take the message of salvation to the world around us. In Christ alone, we pray this in your name. Amen.